Hello, folks. Well, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune, because it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. This is episode 579 of the Chats edition. We also have a Forums edition every week where we just talk strategy. I'm your host, Jim Reed, Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on the hellscape we call Twitter. And I have the best freaking job in the world hanging out here with my friends talking poker every Monday night live on YouTube at 7:30 Eastern. You can join for free and win a prize just for showing up. We're going to be talking to AJ Rudolph in just a moment, but first I have to mention that we are brought to you by Running Aces, the official sponsor of the Rec Poker Podcast. You can find out more about them at runaces.com. Most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, so we really depend on the support of our sponsors and also from our premium members who take place in our training material and study opportunities for only $15 a month. I've got a few new ones to welcome to the family this week. The rare husband and wife combo, Terry and Tammy Langdon. Thank you for joining our premium membership. I had a fun time meeting this power couple over in Ireland and can't wait to get them more involved in what's going on here. And also Jeremiah Meison. Okay, Jeremiah, you'll have to tell me how to spell that name right. How to pronounce that name. Every new premium membership starts with a one-on-one Zoom call with me, walking you through the site and getting to know you a little better so I can help unlock the best secrets of what Rec Poker has to offer you on your own particular premium member journey. So thank you guys so much for your support. And I'd encourage everyone else, try what we do here for free. All it takes is an email address and a smile over at rec.poker to sign up for a free community account. But $15 a month is great value to join our premium membership. And if you use the code RECPOKER, you can even get your first month for only $5. Now, they let me host the show on Mondays, but I am just one man. It takes a group, a gang, a village, a crew to make the magic happen over here. We call this group of wizards the Wrecking Crew. Of course we do. And if you want to find out more about me or the rest of the Wrecking Crew, you can go to rec.poker/crew. But you can also just listen up because you're going to meet a few of them right here tonight on the air, starting with our very own producing co-host, Chris Jones.
Well, I'm Chris Jones. You can find me 5b5 on Twitter or 5x5 in the Poker Stars home game. And I run our monthly deep dive segment where we explore a poker strategy topic each month. And this coming month, we're starting a three-part series where we're looking at playing kind of player exploits based on the types of players that we frequently encounter in recreational lower buy-in player tournaments. I'm really excited for this. This is one that a lot of people have been requesting because they're like, all this GTO stuff doesn't belong in my game. Well, we're going to talk about how to take that stuff and then apply it into your game. So it'll be a fun segment.
I'm Joe Coolis. You can find me on Twitter as well as Blue Sky at Joe Cool, PhD, cool with a K, or LBD11 in the home game. My role on the Wrecking Crew is to provide instruction and discussion about psychological concepts as well as brain function in terms of how it impacts your poker game on the field.
And I'm John Somsky. I'm also known as Poker Geek MN Everywhere, and I help organize our home games.
And I'm Keith Brandt. That's Monkey System just about everywhere. And I run Monkey's Off-Table Tools every month where we talk about different uses for various study tools that we have available to us.
And I'm Rob Washam, and you can find me as Rabman50 just about everywhere. And you can find me on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, the first and third Wednesdays of each month for the book study. And also we have one in 2 days, so join us.
There you go. So as you can tell, we got a lot going on over here at Rec Poker. And when they heard AJ Rudolph was coming with HS, we got a full house. So AJ, first of all, just thanks for making some time and coming on back over to the Rec Poker Podcast.
Of course. I always love coming on and talking with you guys.
And now you have such a rich history in the poker world, particularly lately. You've been dipping your fingers into a lot of different pies. If our audience doesn't really know much about you, why don't you, instead of me putting you in a box, why don't you just kind of give us an elevator pitch on who is this AJ Rudolph character?
Sure. Let's see. So I live in the Chicago suburbs, lived here for a long time. I grew up in Michigan. and been playing poker for about 20 years. I started with just friends, a home game at my brother-in-law's house, actually, and loved the game. And so continued to play very recreationally for a very long time, occasionally in Vegas, you know, hop over and play something at one of the casinos. Or if we were there when WSOP was in town, I was like, let's go play a satellite. and got more serious about it probably 6-7 years ago. Really wanted to, you know, learn more about the game, play bigger things. Some of the guys from my home game started doing the same thing. There's like 5 or 6 of us now that travel for poker. You know, they still all have full-time jobs too, but, you know, really, really got bit by the bug and want to play all these fun things. And I didn't really study the game until, right in the pandemic or right, technically right before the pandemic. I joined up with Poker Power, to teach, beginner women how to play and learn the strategy and skills that it can teach. And that's when I decided, okay, let me study this game because I want to actually get better at it and not just get lucky and win sometimes. So I really started studying, you know, working there, worked there for almost 4 years. You know, started playing a lot more, started going out to Vegas for WSOP and now December WPT. And, you know, it's like, you can always just add more series. They just start dangerous. All of a sudden you're gone every week of the year. Right. Husband and kids, not so happy with that. So I got to pick and choose. Right. Otherwise I would have loved to be with you in Ireland. I'm also the vice president of the Women's Poker Association. Got involved with them when I was at Poker Power, and really, really love that organization. It's a charity organization, and really just elevates the voices of women in the game. And recently started working for Jaka Coaching with Faraz Jaka. So I'm director of operations over there now. Really great, great platform. Love him as a person and as a coach. And so really thrilled to be a part of that organization now as well.
That's amazing. We started working with Faraz just this earlier this year, adding Jaka Coaching to our Learning with Partners program here. Phenomenal content. He does seem to be a really fun and high quality character as well. Director of operations. Holy cow, that's like a big job over there. tell me a little bit about what, because speaking selfishly, I'd like to know, as someone who owns another kind of training site, what do you get up to in the course of a typical day as the director of operations over there?
I have my fingers in everything.
Yeah, right. Of course.
You know, and it's
course.
a small company, you know, so really that means, you know, making sure that things are running, making sure that, you know, Fraz travels, he travels and plays. And so things really need to be running while he is traveling. And so, you know, he's got to have a team that can keep everything smooth sailing while he is away. And so we've really been working the last few months on getting me up to speed on everything, and making sure that he's not then a blocker when he's traveling and the wheels are turning and everything is smooth. So yeah, I really am involved in all parts of the business at this point. Although I'm
congratulations.
Not.
Congratulations. No, I understand.
I let him,
you're like
him
on
do
your
that.
Inside.
And the other guest coaches do that.
Well, that's fantastic. I'll just take a second to remind our YouTube audience, if you're watching along and you've got questions for AJ, just type them in the YouTube chat there and we'll make sure to get to them. We're also going to be looking for some names of famous poker players that we can play stake study stack at the end of the episode. So YouTube chatters, if you have a couple ideas of folks you'd like to put AJ in an uncomfortable position labeling, then by all means, submit those names in the YouTube chat as well. And I'll just mention that we finally hit it. We've got 1,000 subscribers here, which means that we can start accepting super chats. So if you'd like to make a donation to Rec Poker and help support what we do here by making a super chat, we'll share a portion of all those donations with a local food bank. And stick around till the end of the show, because we'll be giving a prize away at the end of the show to someone who types the word food bank into the YouTube chat. So I've got a bunch of questions. Rob, you've unmuted first. What's on your mind before I get into
it? I just wanted to mention that in the Rec Poker world, it takes a crew to do what AJ does by herself.
It's true.
So when Jim is traveling, the director of operations is all the rest of us.
Right.
All the rest of us to do it. So
right.
Stick around, would you, Jim?
Yeah.
More traveling.
Yeah. It's funny, but it's true. When I was in Ireland for a few weeks there, this whole crew was making the magic happen and hosting the podcast and producing the show and doing all the other stuff. But it all went so smoothly. I feel like I don't even know why I came back. I'm just going to let you guys run it from now on. It feels like you're making my job look real easy. Let me put it that way.
Jim's going pro. There you go.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
I don't think we have to worry about that anytime soon. But I would do more poker travel. I mean, that trip to Ireland was phenomenal. Well, let's talk about that a little bit, AJ. So, I mean, that's got to be one of the coolest perks of getting more involved in the poker world is being able to sort of like subsidize your travel, or at least like, what would my dad call it? A boondoggle. A travel trip that's theoretically for work, but you're kind of just having a lot of fun while you do it.
Yes.
Tell me some of like your favorite destinations or some fun things that you've done on these trips, or like some of the perks to having this new piece of your life open to you.
Yes. Well, I just got back like a week and a half ago, I guess now at this point, from the WPT voyage.
Yeah.
Which was absolutely incredible. Such a blast. And you're right. I was like, I've got people on here, you know, I do some commentary sometimes for WPT. So I've got, you know, I've got clients on the boat. This is work-ish, right? You know,
work-ish.
You know, we've got Jack of coaching students on there that I was meeting up with. But I mean, it was really a big party. It really was. It was so much fun. And what a great idea to have an entire boat full of poker players, because all we wanted to do was play poker all the time. And we're stuck on a boat. I mean, stuck. It's amazing restaurants and pools and hot tubs and all the things. And it was everybody. I had never been on a cruise. And I was a little scared too. I was like, what if I feel seasick the whole time? I did not. And somebody said, well, they've also raised the bar for you, because Virgin is apparently an incredible line of cruise ships. And they're like, now you're spoiled. And if you go back down a level or two, you're going to be like, oh, well, so we'll see. But, it was amazing. It was just so much fun being on there with, you know, the poker world and, you know, all of the WPT people and just all the fun. You know, they had themed nights so you didn't have to be playing poker all the time, but everybody wanted to. So, I mean, those dealers were definitely working hard. It's like cash games constantly from like 10 o'clock in the morning to like 6 a.m. And, you know, the tournaments, I mean, tons of tables. They had tournament tables and cash game tables set up through like the entire lobby had tables and all of the showrooms and the club that, you know, they have. That was where the ladies event was held. So that was full of tables a lot of the time. So it was poker player's paradise. It was fantastic.
That sounds like it. Yeah. Now, what was your, like, before you got into the poker world professionally, what was your occupation like at that point? And do you feel like you've carried through a lot of the skills or experiences that made you successful there into this new world?
Yeah. So I have a tech background, software with product management, project management, and QA. And I worked at startups and worked on several different apps. I worked in an agency once, you know, mostly in the tech world. And I did actually carry some of that through. So at Poker Power, we developed the Poker Power app. So I was in charge of that, product management and all of the things. It was a super small team. So I had like five jobs on that app, keeping that going and planning it out and that sort of thing. So that was really fun to be able to build a poker app. Also, that's really hard. You know, we built the engine. Most people just license the engine, I think, from other places. And we did not. We just decided to build the whole thing. So that was fun and interesting to be able to do that. And even now, you know, I'm doing some things with the Jaka Coaching website and keeping some of that tech and project management skill set moving forward. So I think a lot of that built up to help me get where I am now.
Yeah, that's great. We all have our different strengths. That's kind of like how it happened here with Rec Poker. You know, we all have day jobs. We're recreational players. And so we all kind of bring our strength and expertise into ways that we can help the organization. So that's which is the poker fandom is just what we have in common, but it's not actually like most of us are much better at other things than we are at poker, which will surprise no regular listeners, I assure you. And was it, I mean, anytime I talk to a guest who has a family, there must have come this moment where you tell your partner, like, okay, so I'm leaving the tech industry and I'm getting into the poker world. And like, sometimes there's a stigma. Sometimes there's just a sense of like, is that even a thing? Can you tell me a little bit about what it took to kind of pull up stakes and move careers like that?
Yeah. So it was an interesting progression. I was working at the time at an agency and I didn't really like agency life. In my other roles, I worked at the company that was building the thing. And right. That was more my preference. And so I was like, I kind of want to get out of here. Ended up being contacted by Poker Power and they were just starting. Right at the same time, they were like, yeah, we, you know, loved you to come on and consult a little bit, but I don't think we have a full-time job for you. And I was like, that's cool. I'll still do that, but I need to get a different full-time job. So I did that, went into another role at a data company and was doing that role kind of at the same time as doing a little bit of Poker Power stuff on the side. And I think 3 months into that role was when the pandemic shut everything down. And so, you know, I was still doing that full-time role, but Poker Power was ramping up in huge ways at that point because everybody was looking for something for their company to do that was a fun thing, but you had to do it online as opposed to right. in person. And we were able to teach and play in an app and that sort of thing. So that, I mean, that was just exploding. And it was a pretty obvious, like, oh, you should go run with this kind of thing. And so my husband was very supportive of that. And you know, and it was not quite, I'm going into the poker world. I was going to work for a corporation that was doing some poker things. So it wasn't exactly like, hey, you're going to be a full-time poker player or something like that. So it was more of an easy transition. And now it's just like, well, I don't want to leave the poker world because this is pretty fun.
So yeah, totally.
Let's see where my path takes me. So now he's used to it, you know, but it is, I mean, that's a big thing, you know, having a family and especially if you're a tournament player. And right. man, I've had this discussion so many times recently about cash games versus tournaments. Tournaments is such a big time commitment, such a big time commitment. And that is tough. Like I'm going into baseball season. My kid had his first 10U travel baseball game yesterday. And for the next 3 months, I am at the baseball field. So it's going to be, you know, tricky working out the schedule. The other kid umpires. So we're all, and my husband coaches. So we just live there. Right.
You're doomed is what you're
right. It's all baseball all the time. So that is, you know, and even if I was a cash game player, I'd be like, oh, I can go for a few hours and see, you know, but I love tournaments so much. So I have to be able to carve out that time. So it is always a balance and it's always a conversation and it's always, you know, a little bit of negotiation and figuring out what works. You know, I'm already talking about WSOP schedules. And honestly, the date I show up in Vegas depends on if my kid makes the championships or not. Right. So I might be coming in at midnight the night before the ladies event or, you know, we'll see. It might be a couple of days before. I honestly won't know until that week, but family is important and you want to be there for those moments. Poker will always be there. So you just got to balance it out and figure out what works for your family.
Well, let's talk about the ladies event a little bit. I know that when we started talking, you and I, it was within the context of Poker Power and the Women's Poker Association. And I know that you've worked for a long time in the poker industry now as an advocate for women. What Do you feel like in the last few years that the industry has been moving in the right direction? Is it just people saying the right things, or is it not even that? Or do you feel like change is actually happening when it comes to making women feel more comfortable and confident in live venues?
Yes, I think there has been growth. Adding visibility to the subject makes a big difference. And there has been a lot of us talking about it, a lot of male allies talking about it, like you all, really keeping the conversation going. And that's so important, you know, and there's certainly people out there that still don't get it. I hear all the time, if there's a post about ladies events, you will get some Twitter or somebody showing up being like, why is there even a ladies event? Right. Well, there's a ladies event for multiple reasons, you know, and one of it is really there are a lot of women who are scared to go walk into that room and play. And if they feel like this is a more comfortable entrance, one, it's part about the money, you know, especially the women, for whatever reason, and I think this is societal, have a really hard time spending money on a thing like that. And so, you know, they don't want to go drop $1,000. They don't want to go drop $400 or $500. So you make it a smaller thing to see, hey, maybe I'll enjoy this. Maybe I'll like this. It's less out of pocket. And they know, you know, it's like if you're the minority in a situation, walking into that room. For men too, if it's new to you, it's a new situation, it's scary to walk in there. But then you have the stigma that all the women have heard about how poker is so unfriendly and people are mean. And then you walk into the room and you see two women and 500 men. You know, that's not a comfortable situation. So walking into a ladies' event is much more comfortable. We try to make it fun and welcoming, competitive always. We're always going to be competitive, but we want to make it a good welcoming environment so that the women come back. And, you know, one way to grow the industry, we all want to grow the industry. We all want more people to play. And if you've already got the majority of the men that are willing to play, what's the audience that you can target to get more people in? It's the women. So why wouldn't we want them playing? You know, and I hear people say, well, you shouldn't have ladies events because, you know, skill level, there should be no difference. It's not about that at all. We want these women to go play with the men, and we want those fields to grow and have more women in it because that's just good for poker overall. So I think that the tone of the industry is changing a lot. I think that people are understanding that message more and are doing things to keep that going. March and April, we have had record numbers of ladies events. As the WPA, we celebrate final tables for ladies events, and we get a trophy and some fun gifts for the final table just to keep it fun. And hey, come back. This is fun, right? Poker should be fun. And we ran out of trophies. Got them in on the slow boat that finally showed up last week because we were out, because it was an unprecedented amount of events that we wanted to celebrate. So that's great. We always want to see that happen, and we always want to see poker growing in that way.
That's great. I know Chris and Joe have some things they want to get to, but I'm just going to follow up a little here first. Regular listeners know, but just in case you're tuning in for the first time, women participate in online poker at a very high rate, and they participate in live events at a very, very, very low rate. And
4 to 5%.
Yeah. And a lot of people have put two and two together and said that there's something about the live experience that is making women feel less comfortable or less welcome in that environment. You're bang on correct that I think for anyone, when you're new to a casino or a card room, or you're new to the experience of competitive poker, it is intimidating and bewildering. But particularly women, I think, are kind of picked on more, actively intimidated more. And like you say, it's a societal problem. I mean, the problem is that, you know, misogyny and sexism is a part of human nature, unfortunately. And so it's going to take bigger solutions than we can find at the table. But we can make changes at the table. I'll just use a personal example. My wife and I were in Ireland recently, and Mrs. Blusterini is a poker fan. She's been playing for, you know, a decade or more, well, more than that, really. Plays in our home games, you know, loves the game, but doesn't really enjoy the casino environment. But the ladies event at the Irish Poker Open, she was able to visit and like hang out, and I introduced her to some friends. And she said, like, the atmosphere there was so friendly and accommodating and welcoming that we're going back next year. And I think she's got it circled as like her first competitive poker experience. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And like it matters, you know? So I think it's really on us to curate these spaces better and to make them more comfortable and more welcoming, not just to women, but like to anyone who feels uncomfortable in this environment, but particularly for women. And so like, can you tell folks just a little bit about like Purple Tie Guys or other ways that men can help without like white knighting and owning the whole argument? Like, it's a delicate balance for some gentlemen to tread sometimes.
It is. It is. And really it's, so the Purple Tie Guy, through the WPA is just our program for male allies, you know, and it's nothing crazy. You don't have to, you know, do much other than say, hey, I support women in poker. And, you know, if there's anything I can do to help work with my local casino to help facilitate ladies events, or, you know, if I'm playing at the table and, you know, someone is acting off, hey, I'm going to be like, hey, that's not cool. And that should honestly be if somebody's doing that to a man, too. Like, if you feel comfortable, and even if you don't feel comfortable saying something in that moment, like sneak off and say something to the floor, you know, anything along those lines, you know, we can all help it be a better environment for everybody. That's really just saying, you know, hey, you know, when you see that patch on somebody, we have Purple Tie Guy patches, which I'm sending Jim some more of. There we go. You know, it's just like, ah, that's awesome. This guy is stating that, you know, he wants to make sure that it's a safe, friendly environment, for the women, and he's got our back, which is great. So we just need more of that, you know, in poker in general, I think, saying, hey, we've got your back. If somebody's acting up, like, that's just not cool, you know? So.
Yeah. That's great. Well, and I like that there's a way that men can sort of signal their allyship without stomping in and like making it all about them. So if you're at a live event for Rec Poker, we always have a bunch of these purple tie guy patches with the rest of our merch. And it's exactly the kind of people that we want to be over here. So it's a pleasure to be able to support your cause in that way.
Yes. And anytime we have a WPA table set up, like just at Grand Victoria, was that yesterday? What's today? Yeah, that was Saturday. It was Saturday. you know, we had the WPA table up. We had the patches there as well. The staff there is amazing. So Denny from Grand Victoria, he's like, nope, let me put that on. And, you know, so I think that's great.
Awesome. Chris Jones and then Joe Coolis after that.
Yeah, AJ, I kind of want to continue this conversation. I think so often the conversations like this about the environment of poker, the environment of the live game, and you know what needs to change and how we can sort of facilitate it. But I want to ask you about Jaka coaching on that level, because one of the things that I have noticed from the very beginning is there are a lot of women in Jaka coaching. There are a lot of women having success in Jaka coaching. If you just look at even the Twitter feed of Jaka coaching, like half the like celebration stories are about women who are current students at Jaka coaching, and they've gone on to win this or that or this. They got their second ring, and they got, you know, all kinds of things are going on. And so I kind of want to reverse the question that we often ask is like, what can we change about what's wrong and all this? What is Jaka coaching doing right to attract women? What lessons can we learn in the rest of the poker space that Jaka coaching is doing to make that environment so positive for women?
That's a great question. And you're right. Jaka coaching has a lot of female winners and just in the community in general. And I think it's a couple of things. One, Faraz really tries to make a habit of bringing his community together and, you know, reaching out and making it inclusive and just making it very real. Like, you can always ask questions. You know, he says that constantly. You're never, you know, I'm always going to answer your questions. Please put them in the chat, because he does a lot of live lessons. You can always watch them later. But if you're there live, you can ask questions and those will get answered. And, you know, nobody's going to be made to feel stupid. Everybody has questions. And so that's one of the things, is really building that community. We have Discord channels. There's a WhatsApp group for when, you know, there's travel and like, hey, who's here? Like with the WPT Voyage, hey, who's going to be there? Let's all get together for breakfast. Let's make sure we meet up. Making sure somebody is there that you're going to know, because poker can be, you know, kind of, you're kind of a lone wolf sometimes, right? If you're going and you want to play, but none of your friends are there to play, well, who are you going to meet up with? Well, if you're part of a community, you know, that's really great. And I know you all do a great job of that too with your community. So I think that's one thing that is really inviting to women, is having that sense of community. And honestly, the other thing, and this is just from my perspective, like Faraz doesn't do anything that's specific to draw women, but I feel like just his personality is something that draws women. And it's because he'll, you know, if he doesn't know the answer, he'll say he doesn't know the answer. You know what? He's like, I know a lot of things, but I don't know everything. And, you know, maybe he's not an expert in cash games right now, or maybe he's not an expert in this. You know, he's always very real about that stuff. And I think that's such a great vibe. And, you know, really down to earth, there's no any sort of ego or anything along those lines. And I think that makes it really attractive as well.
Joe, jump in.
Yeah, so my question kind of stems in many respects in part from my reading of the literature that Power Poker has put out, as well as, you know, utilizing poker as a means of teaching women something. Just as a background, I'm a psychologist, and a lot of the students that I have in my program are women, because psychology has essentially, is one of the careers that's become feminized in many respects. And that's a good thing. It's just, there's more women now than men coming into it. And the interesting thing is you get stuck kind of trying to teach people what you want the world to be like, but also what the world is like, and the difficulties that are associated with that. And Power Poker to me was that, I re-listened to the prior interview today, is teaching about how to go into finance, right? And the kind of the goals of that was, seemed to me to be fundamentally changing how women oftentimes are socialized to act, right? And that was the goal of poker. And I guess if you could just help enlighten me about how WPA and a lot of the organizations you've worked on navigate that problem of the world as we want it to be, but the world actually as it is at this point.
Right. Yeah. And that's a very interesting point to think about, right? I think the biggest thing to think about there is reminding people that it's okay to be uncomfortable. And in fact, you need to do things that make yourself uncomfortable to grow as a person. And, you know, yeah, like you said, Poker Power was a lot about that. You know, not even necessarily finance, although finance is a big one because it's a male-dominated field. And there's a lot of male-dominated fields out there that could benefit from having women in them. But societal pressures push women into certain fields sometimes. And so, you know, really, I think telling women that it's okay to go after what you want, to be aggressive, to really push yourself. I mean, that's the biggest thing. Push yourself outside your comfort zone for men and women. And poker is a great way to help you do that and practice you doing some of those things because of all of the different skills that it teaches you. So negotiation, you know, every round of betting is a negotiation, right? And people aren't good at negotiation, but poker can help you get better at those types of things. And you're right, in finance, you know, it's very similar to trading. So it's capital allocation. You're given a bucket of chips and you have to make it grow, not shrink. So, you know, very similar to trading, which is also male dominated. So, you know, we're really just helping women get through that process and telling them it's okay to not fold to societal pressures and really go out there. And yeah, there's some negative stereotypes to poker. I literally have relatives who have said to my father, "Are you serious? Like, she's got kids and she's doing this poker thing." Because they don't get it, right? They don't. I'm not just gambling away all my money. That's not what's happening here. It's a whole different thing, you know. And so women will get that pressure too. And I think women will get that pressure more than men will in going into poker. So it's really about supporting the women that want to play and helping them with that and being here to have their back.
And in that concept, I think that's a great answer. In that construct, how do you manage the fundamental question oftentimes in academia is, if I am assertive in terms of what I want, I get a name that rhymes with which. And if I'm not, nobody listens to me, which to some degree is a similar problem at the poker table, right? It's like, how do you speak up? So how do you teach that? What kind of advice would you have for our rec poker women listeners who don't know really how to act in that situation?
So it's tough. There's not always a good answer because every situation is different and you have to do what makes you comfortable. But one of the things that, you want to be assertive and aggressive in situations because you want to win at the poker table, right? And you cannot win by being passive. So you can't just sit there and wait for aces or kings or queens. and what that means is you're going to try to bluff people sometimes. And sometimes people are going to find out you bluff them and they're not going to like it. And they're going to come at you. And that they do that to men too. But I think women tend to be an easier target for that sometimes. You really have to do what makes you comfortable. Know it's going to happen. So prepare yourself that it's going to happen. And I'm really good at diffusing situations, let's say. But that's my personality. That's always been me. I will diffuse situations. I'm always a very calm person. So it may internally bother me, but I'm never going to let that outwardly bother me. And I'll take it and deal with it or handle the situation or call the floor or whatever needs to be done. And that's okay. But I'm also a pretty strong personality. And I know that's tough for some of the women that are not. You just have to prepare yourself and know. And that's going to happen in life too. Sometimes, you're going to have a boss that comes at you and yells at you for no reason. So this helps you prepare for real world situations too. You really just have to prepare yourself for it and know that sometimes it's going to happen.
I just want to say thanks for the work that you do. I'm wearing this particular shirt today because my daughter plays college basketball.
Fantastic.
This little spot right here, I think, is meaningful to me in terms of women's sports. Not that I'm a woman, but I mean, I just think it means something is that if people don't know, the tournament could not be called March Madness until this year, but the women's basketball tournament could not, only the men's. And this is the first year that they said, oh, wait, this is March Madness. Just simply.
Oh my God. I didn't know that actually. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Caitlin. And thank you all the other women. They're doing great things for basketball. I mean, yeah, it's incredible. Yes. People do want to watch women's basketball, turns out.
I had a great time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's awesome. Well, I hope your daughter enjoys the sport and goes big with it.
That's why I know that you're doomed, because I've spent many time on basketball courts in states, that I didn't want to go to for the summer. Right.
So sports parents.
Sports parents. Now, we were talking a bit about the WPA and Faraz. Jack is coaching program. I just want to tell our audience, if you check the show notes for the episode tonight, you'll find a link to the Women's Poker Association homepage. And you'll also find a fantastic offer from Jack at Coaching. It's actually a 45-minute training video free. This is just if you're a rec poker listener and you click on the link, you'll get a 45-minute training video about three betting that comes out of their MTT course there that I know a lot of our listeners really benefit from. And it also comes with a discount on membership if you want to get more involved with Jack at Coaching. So I will just say, if you're interested so far, go check the show notes. Make sure you click that link and check out that 45-minute video. Keith, you had something you wanted to add here as well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, AJ, I've got a softball for you, speaking of sports. How does one get one of those yellow and black patches I always see in tournaments?
I have them. So a couple different ways. You know, at the bigger events, we will always have people there, like Hard Rock, which is happening right now, Seminole Hard Rock in Florida. We will have patches, Jaka coaching patches there. We'll have them at WSOP. You can come and get us from them free that way. Happy to hand them out. I'll get you one next time I see you, Keith. Right. I've got them with me too. And you can also order them off the website. So you can order them that way. We do have a merch store, and patches are on there as well.
Where's the merch store at? I couldn't find it. I looked for it.
You know what? It is hard to find on the website. So let me grab the link right now. I have it bookmarked. We are actually doing a little bit of a redo on some of the website right now. So that'll be a little more obvious and easy to find. If I can find the swag store link. Only when I'm under pressure, right?
just put the hyperlink so it says, Keith, the patches are here.
I thought this was going to be a softball.
There's a softball until I can't find the link. Oh, no.
We can always add it into the show notes later, too.
So, I'll find it.
Yeah. If folks are looking for that, make sure to just check the show notes there, and we'll make sure that clip is in there.
I found it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Share it.
I'll put it in the Zoom here.
Perfect. And I'll put it in the YouTube chat here in case folks are watching along. So can you tell me, like, what's a success story that you've heard from some of the members of WPA or Poker Power that made you feel like we've touched some lives, we've helped these people have a better poker experience?
Yes. So actually, just Saturday at the ladies event at Grand Victoria, so a woman comes up to me and she said, so I've played poker and I used to play a long time ago, but I just recently, you know, got involved with the WPA, joined the Facebook group, checked things out. And she said, and I saw your post about this event and I haven't played a tournament in 25 years. She said, but you know what? This was close to home and I'm showing up. And she had a blast. Her name was Rose. She cashed even in the event. Everyone was like, she was such a blast to play with. She was so much fun. She had a great time. And I love hearing that because she really did enjoy the game. And she just, you know, didn't have a reason to go play until this. And so really glad to see that. Really glad she found a sense of community. She'll be back, clearly. So that's amazing. And you know, with Poker Power, there were a lot of women, exposed to the game, and a lot of women, with some success stories. And when I say success stories, I mean, they would come back to me and say, hey, you know, I negotiated for this job or promotion and I never would have thought to do that until you said, you know, hey, this is something you should do. Companies expect you to do. Practice it with poker, get yourself ready for it, and then go take your shot. And we're really surprised with their results when they did that. You know, just confidence building, you know, pushing yourself, like that beating of your chest when you're all in on a bluff. but you did it, right? You took the chance, and taking that chance in poker can really parlay into taking those chances in life. So that confidence piece is big, I think. I heard a lot of women say it built confidence for them. And just getting the okay that, you know, you should do that stuff, try it, you know, it's okay for you to take those risks. Risk taking is so big. You know, I was not a big risk taker. And now it's like, calculated risks, certainly, right? I'm not just, you know, firing off whatever. But taking those calculated risks is how you get ahead in life. So you need to do those things and you need to push yourself.
Great question. Great answer. We're getting close to the end of the interview portion of the show here. So if you're in the YouTube chat, I'll give you another chance to get some questions in for AJ. We're also going to be doing our food bank raffle prize soon, so get ready to start typing words food bank into there. So AJ, you've worked with multiple organizations now that help poker players improve their play. How do you study poker now? What are some effective ways that people can study poker, as opposed to maybe some ways that make sense on paper but sort of don't work very well?
Yes. So, I found out when I first started studying, you know, some was with friends. I think it's really important to talk hands with friends. Write down hands. When you are playing, write down hands. And you can do it on break, or you can just real quick do it in, like, I just do it in my notes on my phone. You know, if I'm sitting there on and I'm typing something out real quick, because I don't want to forget that hand and I want to go back to it later. And some of it should be like, I think I did this really well. And some of it should be like, ooh, I don't know if that was the right move. Because you want to look at both of those things. And because sometimes you think you did it really well and actually you didn't do it really. or maybe you did, you know, and one of those things you could do, you can talk about it with friends, or you can, you know, use a tool like GTO Wizard or something and put in the hand and see if you did the right thing. It will tell you if you did the right thing. I found it really hard initially when I was studying to make time to study, because with family and work, you want to play. So you find if you have that extra time, you want to play. You don't want to study, but you need to do both. And you really do. So for quite a while, I was doing private coaching with Melanie Weisner. She was involved with Poker Power, and I got to know her that way. So because she made me accountable, I have homework to do, and I have to meet with her at this time. So I will make myself accountable and do that. And I needed that check-in point, or I would not get it done. And so that was really key for me. So maybe it's just you have those check-in points with friends, even, you know, if you don't have the money to do any private coaching or any of those things, that's fine. And then, you know, group coaching obviously is another option. So now I do a lot of Faraz's content, and I literally schedule it out on my calendar. So if there's a live class, that's great. But if I need to go back and watch things later, I have to put the time into my calendar and I have to schedule it out to study, or I will just not do it. And it's so important to improve your game. You can play all the time, but if you're not looking at what you did and finding new ways to improve your game, you're just not going to get better.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I completely agree. Like having other people involved is the key. You need people that are going to challenge your own assumptions and maybe give a perspective that you haven't considered. It sounds so simple, but like it makes a huge difference. So find that group, find that crew. You know, I know a lot of, like when I was getting started in poker, I had a lot of good friends, but they weren't like interested in talking poker. So I had to join a group like Rec Poker or Poker Power, Women's Poker Association, some of these other fantastic groups out there. So if you're listening at home, take that step, invest in yourself.
Pocket Queens is another one. They do study groups.
Yes. Fantastic. Yep. They're doing some great stuff there, I know, as well. All right. Well, I think that's getting us to the end of the interview question. People are starting to type the words food bank into the YouTube chat. That's fantastic. I'll just make a little plug for the food banks around the world. The reason that we just talk about it on every show is because, especially these days, it's harder for some people than others to put food on the table, to feed their children or loved ones. It's a challenging time in the world right now. And the people that need a little help might surprise you. It might just be someone in your neighborhood, someone in your own community, someone that you might not expect who just needs a little help putting some food together. So a great way for you to make the world a better place is just to Google some food banks near me on your smartphone. You'll find some organizations that can benefit from a few dollars out of your pocket, a few hours out of your day, or some non-perishable food items from your pantry. And it's doing what you can with what you have where you are is the best way to make a difference in the world. So we like to support local food banks, and that's the plea that I'll put out there. Joe, you had something you wanted to...
Yeah, I just want to point out, to follow on what Jim said, is that people really need to understand how little you have to give that makes a huge difference for people. We're talking about hundreds and thousands of dollars that you have to give. $5 buys a ton of food for people to be able to eat, even with inflation and all the things that people talk about these days. It really makes a difference if you take a little bit of money, maybe even just say, well, every time I play a tournament, I'm going to give $5 to the food bank or something along those lines. It's so helpful to people, and it's a way to kind of balance off, you know, as Ms. Rudolph was talking about, the concern, I don't want to drop $1,000, that just seems wrong. Well, if you're giving some money as well, you're doing some good for the rest of the world. So,
yeah. Well said, Joe. Well said. All right. Well, when you hear that tone, it means that that's the end of the interview. We are going to start our two new fun segments, Stake, Study, Stack, and then we'll close the action with our speed round. Chris Jones, have you prepared a list of names to put Rudolph to the test here?
I am still sort of deciding on the fly here because, like, there have been so many good topics here. Usually, AJ, just to kind of give you the inside baseball, kind of like pick up some names throughout the interview and like pull them in. But I've got such a good list here that I'm trying to decide. But anyway, the challenge for you is I'm going to give you three names. You're going to tell me, and you have to choose between stake, study, or stack. So you're going to choose one that you want to stake in a poker tournament or cash game, one who you want to study with, and one who you would just like to just stack them at the table and take all their chips.
Got it.
All right. All right. Your three names, I think I'm just going to go with these, are Melanie Wisner, Faraz Jaka, and Tara Smith.
Oh, man. All right. So Tara Smith, for those who don't know, is the president of the Women's Poker Association. All right. So Melanie, Faraz, and Tara. Tara was my roomie on the WPT Voyage, too.
Ah, fun.
All right. Well, let's see. It's a toss-up, I have to say, between stake and study with Faraz and Melanie. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. All right. I am going to stake Faraz because he just won a bracelet last summer.
Nice.
I'm going to study with Melanie because she does such a good job with me there, too. And so then I guess I have to stack Tara. Sorry, Tara.
Hey, Tara.
All in good fun. Yeah.
That's right. Fantastic. Well, then we're going to move on to our speed round, closing the action. So the only wrong answer is a long answer. We're looking for quick, top of mind responses to this mostly poker related questions. And you can say pass. And if it's taking too long, I'm just going to throw the buzzer out there and we'll move on to the next question. Okay. We're going back to the sound card.
This is like my worst nightmare. I am not good, but I'll try, guys.
All right. Well, you'll find it's a pretty fun group for it then, in that case. All right. So let's get started. First question, we're going to start it off real easy. AJ Rudolph, what's your favorite poker hand?
Not ace jack. Not ace jack. I hate it. I really hate it. Everybody always asks me that.
Is poker a gamble or a skill game?
Absolutely a skill-based game. It's a game over time.
What? Yes, I like that too. What is your biggest poker pet peeve?
Messy chips.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Is Ace King a drawing hand?
No.
Is a Pop-Tart a sandwich?
No.
What about a taco? Is a taco a sandwich?
No.
Okay, finally, a hot dog. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
I could see that. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you start with Pop-Tart and work your way over, suddenly it seems a little more sandwichy, doesn't it? Should vacations be lazy or busy?
Lazy.
What's one thing you're afraid of?
Gosh, not much. Snakes sometimes.
Who's one player, a poker player, that you respect and why?
Oh, there's a lot of them. Wow.
Got to pick one.
Oh, Faraz it is.
There's yellow light coming up. Slow down or speed up?
Speed up.
Are you pro chop or no chop?
No chop mostly, but if I'm real tired, we'll go chop.
And who is your poker nemesis?
I don't know that I have one. I feel like I find one at every table, though.
Okay.
That's I don't have a consistent person, but I will find one at the table.
Hey, there you go. Last question. What's one thing you can't live without?
A fuzzy blanket.
Nice. All right. There we go. So that's the end of the speed round. We have, just looking at the math here, looks like you got 4,217 points. Nice work. That is very impressive. Those are good numbers. All right.
Winner.
I do ask all our guests this question as well. Now that we've kind of had a fun time and teased the brain a little bit. Someone puts a gun to your head and says, you have to go back in your life and do one thing differently. Even if you wouldn't want to choose one thing, you'd rather do your whole life exactly the same because it led you to where you are today. You have to choose one thing. What's one thing that you would choose to do differently?
Okay. So in high school, I took French, and there was a French class trip to Paris. And I was like, we don't really have a lot of money growing up. Like, this is probably not something I could do. I wish I would have worked on some alternate ways to go and take that trip. And me and my parents have talked about that since. And that's one thing that we all were kind of like, you know what? We probably could have figured out ways to do that. And I just like, I didn't want to push. And like, I knew, you know, they didn't have a lot of whatever, but I feel like looking for alternative solutions is such a good thing to do in life and find and push for the ways and the things you want to do.
Yep. Good answer. All right, AJ, thank you so much. I enjoyed our conversation like I always do. If folks want to reach you, what's the best way for our listeners to say, hey, AJ, great interview. Thanks for all you do for the poker world.
Find me on Twitter, AJRudolph23.
All right. And
I'm on there frequently and easily accessible.
Yeah. All right. We'll make sure we include that link in the show notes. And like I said, you can also find some links in there to WPA and some Fraz Jacka material as well. So make sure to check that out. All right, AJ Rudolph, thank you so much. I hope that we're in Vegas at the same time this summer yes. and get a chance to hang out and have some fun.
I saw your schedule. I think I will be. So.
Oh, yeah, good.
We'll have to have our annual or biannual at this point get together.
Yeah, exactly. I'm already looking forward to it. Well, travel safe. I'll see you down there. Thanks again.
Good talking, guys. See ya.
All right, folks. Well, that's AJ Rudolph. If you want to, I see some people are already typing the words food bank into the YouTube chat. So get the food bank mentions in there. We'll do our raffle in just a moment. First, John Somsky, why don't you take us through some home game? Actually, before we do that, I want to just shout out that we're recording this on Monday, April 15th. This weekend is the Mid-States Poker Tour in at Running Aces. Just less than an hour north of the beautiful Twin Cities in the fantastic state of Minnesota. And you can get out there and participate in all the fun, like I'm sure many of the Wrecking Crew members will be doing. That is, then you can find more details at runaces.com. But John, tell us about some of our poker games on the e-felt when we can't get to Running Aces ourselves all the time.
Well, on Wednesday, April 10th, we had the Mixed Game Championship Series. This is a series that's held the second Wednesday of every month, and you have a Player of the Year points race that you earn points every time you play, and your top 10 scores count towards the Player of the Year race. And on April 10th, Gibber 3, Jim Gibson, won the Mixed Game Championship event for the first time.
Congratulations, the real Jim pulling it through. Nicely done. All the guys, all he does is win, win, win. Beautiful.
And apple of my eye maintains a very small, Harold Berry maintains a very small player of the points race lead, leading 3 points over M. Babker. So it's still anyone's game. We don't have a Patty 98 running away with it this year. And right. Gopher Board TJM isn't in the mix as of yet either, although there's still plenty of time.
Plenty of time. It's only your top 10 months count out of the 12-month calendar. So even if you've missed some sessions leading up to this one, that player's race is on the second Wednesday of every month. It's a different mixed game every month. And you can also listen along as we explain all the different mixed games that we'll be playing over our special editions of the Forums podcast, which comes out each month going over the next game. Nice work, John.
And for the few people that are actually listening live to this, I will remind you that the Go for the Gold series is Wednesday. If you have ever won a silver pin, you can play in that event to win a gold pin and be our second ever Go for the Gold series winner. And if you're listening to it when it's actually announced, stay tuned next week where I'll be announcing whoever won that.
That's right. And you can join the one and only Daniel Kennedy as a gold rec poker pin winner. And if you want to know how impressive and fun it is to be a part of that club, just tell Dan Kennedy that you're a member of Rec Poker. He'll tell you all about the gold pin that he's won and how rarefied the air is for that company and how impressive it is and how excited he is to about to be repeating. So congratulations, Dan, and congratulations to this year's winner, whoever you are. It's like the Masters. Once you've won that silver pin, once you've got that green jacket, you're invited back every year for the Go for the Gold. So come and test your mettle with some of Rec Poker's finest.
Yeah, and he claims that he is planning on being the first two-time champ.
Yeah.
You know, and making sure that there is not a second first-time champ this year. So, you know, I applaud the guts, but I would really like to see a new winner.
Yeah,
there you go. Okay. Then we have our Tournament of Champions series that was played on April 8th. Uncle Tom's Cabin won the TOC, which nice. Earned him a silver pin and, of course, also earns him into the Go for the Gold Championship.
Nice. Good luck.
We have a nightly series. Kambinkley, Eric Jin, got his first nightly victory for the year.
Beauty.
Hockey Poker 702, Joseph Wills, got his second nightly victory for the year.
That one was in the OPA, too. I love it. So every Tuesday, premium members can join the Wrecking Crew members in our Zoom call while we just like hang out with each other while we're playing in the nightly home game. And the OPA people are way higher represented at the final table than you would think. For some reason, the OPA crowd performs well in these Tuesday night home games. So it was awesome. We got to rail Joseph on to victory as he swept away the competition and took home that bronze pin. So congratulations, Joseph. Way to go.
Then we have Bone Crusher 14. Marcel Dusik got his first international victory for the year. B-Chip Charles Allen got his second international victory for the year. And now then KB won the LPP event. So he can contact info@rec.poker for his free month at Learn Pro Poker. Oh, and by the way, that's his third LPP victory this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. We've got a sixth bunch of killers lifetime. There. That's a bunch of killers in that lineup. Some OGs, some Rec Poker OGs. Nicely done.
We also have never mentioned the March ROI winners yet.
Oh, right. Let's.
So I do have a list, and we can go ahead and put them out there. I mean, we did have it on the Rec Poker website, so you could have seen it there. But let's announce it here live on the podcast.
Let's do it.
Number one in March was Oslo Borger.
Oh, Tron, Vidaris Densby. Fantastic. And Rob, in case folks don't know what you're doing here, this is all the premium members that played at least four tournaments this in the month who had the highest ROI period.
Correct.
Fantastic. Correct.
And you have to have played in four home games in the month, not including any of the Player of the Year or the Tournament of Champions. It has to be this just the regular standard home games.
All right.
Number two was Stewie 13.
No surprise there. The guy's an absolute killer.
Number three, Hellas 1966220. Oh,
there you go. Which is
our favorite Kelly.
Yeah.
Tom Binkley. Now he's the Wrecking Crew member, so he doesn't count as the top five, but we're going to mention him.
Yeah, I'm glad we get some representation in the top five for the
Well, exactly. Like, we got to make sure people understand that us Wrecking Crew members are a force to be reckoned with.
Reckoned with? Oh, my God, Rob, you just did it. Amazing. I know. Amazing.
It's almost like the peanut butter and jelly sandwich Twitter thing that was happening. And then we've got Eric Anderson 85, or E. Anderson 85, which we know as Eric Anderson.
Yeah, well, we do now, Doxer.
Yeah. I think everybody knows.
Yeah, Eric. Probably by now.
And then Fergie 56.
Ah. So another
Wrecking Crew member came in the top seven. But the top five will be followed up with Jasper Jr.
There you go. Way to go, Pat.
Who I met at the first Rec Poker Day at Running Aces. I believe I met Mr. Jasper Jr. then. So
nice.
That's our top. Now, one other thing, I'm just going to throw this out there. We do also have the results for the first quarter.
Oh, cool.
So, and I don't know if we're doing anything separate for the quarter or not, but
no, but we should announce also. So Tron Vidar Stensby, congratulations by being the top ROI points earner in March. Just like every month, you've earned the prize of joining us on the podcast here when there's a guest coming up that you'd like to meet and hang out with and chat with. You don't have to just chat in the YouTube chat. You can come right into the Zoom. So Tron Vidar Stensby, send me an email, jim@rec.poker, and we'll get together. I'll let you know who the next guests are going to be. You can pick an interview to join, and then we'll have you on the show. Congratulations. But Rob, sorry, you were saying the quarterly results. How exciting.
Quarterly results. Now, it's only counting a month that you actually played in four games. So yes. If you played in one game in March, you're not going to be, you know, that's not included in your ROI total. Number one is our favorite Gopher boy, TJM.
Oh, God. I guess he had to win something. You can't go a freaking week without Taylor winning something around here. Good Lord. All right, fine. Congratulations, Taylor.
Number two is Now You Said It.
Oh, hey. How cool is that? I don't want to dox them, but congratulations. You know who you are. And I think they're in the YouTube chat right now as well.
Ah. Number three is Com Binkley.
No surprise there.
Number four is Kellis, 196-3220.
Wow. All right.
And then we have Stewie 13.
Mm-hmm.
And E-Chip, our Mr. Charles Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And East Coast Bitter.
Yeah.
So we have three Wrecking Crew members in the top five. And then the top five premium members will be concluded with Oslo Borger.
Yes.
Is actually the fifth best premium member in the first quarter of the year. So there you have it.
Very impressive. There you have it.
All you had to do is play four of them, get in the money, get some ROI going, and you can be on this list.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for putting all that together and all the rest of the stuff you do behind the scenes here at Rec Poker. I mean, people know that it's a collaborative effort here. I'm just a small part of the Rec Poker machine. But Rob's not only one of the OGs of Rec Poker, he's been taking on more and more over the last year to help out with everything we're doing here. And we're also appreciative of it. That's awesome, Rob. Thanks for all you do. And I will mention to everyone else, you see how these Wrecking Crew members are rocking the standings in these ROI competitions that we're having. A lot of our Wrecking Crew members really enjoy doing coaching with our premium members and with our podcast listeners. You don't have to be a premium member to go to rec.poker/coaching, and you can find a lot of smiling, friendly, knowledgeable faces that can help you take your game to the next level. So head on over to rec.poker/coaching. And see some players there that would love to work with you and help you get better at this fantastic game that we all love so much. Chris Jones, it looks like we are ready for the Die of Infamy.
DysoCam is in place.
The DysoCam. I do love that. We're such nerds here. So, we are such nerds, but we revel in it.
We've got three names. Yep. If we roll a four, we're going to do the Rec Poker Food Bank donation.
Yes.
Otherwise, I have the order. The RRCCC is one, Joe Rafter two, and none other than the real Jim Gibson, or the real Jim Gibber.
That's what I see, too. Right. Let's see who here we go. Is it going
so
to
we're
be.
We're cheering for fours here.
Dun, 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 dun.
It is a – that's a four.
That's a four. Correct? I have it.
It's the top pointy thing, right?
It's the top pointy thing. I have it here in the chat that Joe Coolis is going to make that donation. Oh no, I'm shouting you out, Joe. I know you're doing it for the right reasons, but he's such a lovely guy. He's going to contribute to a local food bank on behalf of Rec Poker. That's very kind. Roll it again. See who's the real winner, other than some hungry people
it is
somewhere
a three,
near Joe.
Which that gives us to the Gibber.
Gibson. Hail Purdue. You just keep on winning over here at Rec Poker. This is one of the fun. Folks, come join the freaking podcast taping for free. Win a prize at the end just for showing up. So, Jim, you are already a Rec Poker Premium member, which means that you get to choose between a free month at Learn Pro Poker, Solve for Why, PokerCoaching.com, Red Chip, Tournament Poker Edge. Oh, God, why do I do this live without a list in front of me? I always forget one or two. We've got Jack of Coaching, of course, naturally. There's all of these fantastic learning partners that help support our premium membership here by sharing their material with our members. It's a fantastic. The poker world is a generous and lovely place, and a lot of these partners are a big part of that. So, congratulations, Jim. Send that email to info@rec.poker, and we'll get you all sorted out with the prize of your choosing. Congratulations. All right. What else is on people's minds here? Is there anything else that we should cover before we roll on out of here? I will tell our folks, if you're listening live, you can join us at the top of the hour for our forums edition of the podcast, where we'll be taking some posts from the free Rec Poker forums and talking about them on the air with some premium members and ranking members. It's a lot of fun. So join us for that. Otherwise, I guess I'll just say thank you very much to Running Aces and all their support over the years. Of course, thank you to AJ Rudolph, who was a fantastic guest, Chris Jones, Keith Brandt, Rob Washam, Joe Coolis, and John Somsky for all your support over the years. The YouTube chatters, you're a lot more fun than doing this in front of the empty screen. And all our listeners at home, we couldn't do it without you. So thanks to you. And we'll see you next week on the Rec Poker Podcast. Good night, everybody.